Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 276, November 30th, 2016. We introduce Emma, a 13-year-old Toronto ham, and her first contact to South Africa. Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, Canine EID, and no, I'm not in my normal place. I'm in the Illinois house today, and this week we're working on a bunch of projects at the plant, and thought we'd do Ham Nation from here tonight. So here we are, and we've got a really cool show, and as all of them, but this is kind of special. First of all, Valerie's going to come up here in a minute with her Christmas special. Now, get your pencils out, because you might want to take some notes of where she's going to take you. Don, how are you doing down there in Mississippi?
I'm good. We had the little cold front come through earlier today. It's going to bring our temperatures down to something a little bit more seasonal, which will be lovely, but all is good here. I want to tell you about something kind of cool. We've got an outstanding young lady on the show tonight, and some news that another outstanding young lady, Hope Lee, 9-year-old extra class amateur operator, I don't have her call sign here, but she will be making contacts on the Last Man Standing stage coming up during their lunch break on December 6th, probably on 20 meters. So be listening December 6th. Watch for the Last Man Standing Facebook page. That's a great place to get stuff from John Amadeo and the rest of the crew over there. So it's going to be exciting. Hope Lee going to be making contacts from the Last Man Standing stage December 6th. We've got Newsline coming up and Dr. T and all kinds of other stuff. So it's going to be a great show, Bob.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing anything that comes out of Tim Allen and that great crew. It's really incredible. And then once in a while, he'll throw in a few things about ham radio, which is great. John Amadeo does a great job keeping it all going. And yes, we have Emma and Rod with us tonight from the Toronto area. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Emma is 13 years old, and her first contact, she's going to tell us all about, is was a long way away, much better than I ever did when I hit the key for the first time, and we're going to come back to them in a minute. George is here. He's in the wings trying to figure it out, something about a 1,000-foot tower. So I don't know what the deal is, but stand by because George will be here. And, of course, Amanda is watching all in the chat room, and hello to the chat room. A chat room is very valuable to all of us because you guys and gals keep us all straight and give us some great ideas. So there you go. But first, we're going to go to the Christmas show for all of us to enjoy. And there she is. Valerie, how are you doing with your great smiley face? You and Jerry doing good?
Yes, we're doing really good. It's getting a little chilly here, but that lets us know Christmas is not too far away. So I thought I would do the NV9L Christmas special. So go ahead and roll that. Welcome, everyone, to NV9L's Christmas special. So let's start off with Christmas cards. Now, I did a little research. We have Zazzle.com. They've got the biggest variety. And there's always DX Engineering. They've got the best prices, and they've got a bunch to choose from. ET Gift Stores has a few to choose from, as well as CafePress.com. Want to make a CUSO with Santa Claus or one of his elves? Well, they're going to be on the air from the North Pole. That's right, OF9X, which stands for Old Father 9 Christmas, as well as OH9SCL, which stands for Santa Claus, is going to be on the air. Now, there's all the elves that are going to be helping out on the air, including a first-time junior elf at the age of 12 years old. Now, you might actually get to talk to Santa as well. They're going to be on the air from December 10th through the 28th, and they're going to be on all bands. Now, if you do make a QSO with Santa Claus or one of his elves and you want a card, you can OQRS it through Club Log or through Marty Lane, one of Santa's helpers, at OH2BH. Now, any donate will go to the Finnish Red Cross Disaster Relief Emergency Fund. And this year's activities are going to be put on by a bunch of clubs because it is a lot of work. Now, if you want more info, just go to OF9X's QRZ page. Now, if you want to track Santa beginning December 1st, you can track his whereabouts at radiosantaclaus.com/NORAD. Now, since the OF9X and OH9SCL special event stations draw a huge pileup and run split, it might be a little difficult to get those kids, grandkids, neighbors, nieces, and nephews on the air to talk to Santa. Well, this is an easy, sure way to get them on to talk to Santa. The 3.916 SantaNet. Every night, 7:30 Central. Just check in there and you can have the little ones talking directly to Santa Claus. Are you having trouble trying to figure out what to get that ham radio operator for Christmas? Well, here's a few ideas for you. Now, we all know Jim's Engraving because we all have those right behind us. Well, they make great Christmas gifts. You can even get beer steins engraved. ETGiftStores.com, they have an Ohm watch. They even have some little Santa ornaments. KB3IFH has lots of stuff. Mugs, mouse pads, clocks, name badges, license plaques, license plates, luggage tags, you name it. Or if you're in the market for some ham radio apparel, well, HipHamShirts.com's probably got what you need. They've got some really funny shirts in there if you want to check that out and put that on your wish list. Of course, we can't forget about DX Engineering. They actually have a whole section devoted just for Christmas gifts. If you go to this page here, you can click on any of those sections and all kinds of Christmas goodies available right from DX Engineering. And of course, you always get it the next day. And for that DX or a contester on your list, the Amateur Radio World Map with the DXCC country list also includes all the zones from hamradiomap.com. Makes a perfect gift. Now, those maps are very large. They're 23 by 33 inches, and they're giving 20% off if you have a new call within the last year. And don't forget about the books and CDs that are out there. ARRL has some great books along with the W5YI.org group, as well as DX Engineering. Now, if your ham radio operator is a little more outdoorsy, then this might work for them. It's actually a ham radio harness that you can put on so when they're out working public service parades or whatever, or climbing towers, that makes a perfect gift. They have them at a bunch of different places. Walmart seems to be the cheapest price. Of course, watches always make good gifts. Well, get a UTC watch. And there's cordless soldering irons. Perfect gift for somebody who's out and about a lot, field day, or at the base of your tower. Now, I thought this was kind of cool when I saw it. It's a portable generator. Now, what generates the power is you're pulling the cord. Now, that's going to give you about 30 minutes of power with about 30 to 40 watts of output. And I'm sure there's some ham radio applications for that out there. So that makes a cool, unique gift for that techie on your list. And that's NV9L's Christmas special. And you can never have enough ham radio gadgets. So get out there, put this stuff on your list. Help support the small businesses that support our hobby. And of course, help support all the sponsors who help to put Ham Nation on the air every week. So hopefully you get what you want. As far as DXing and contesting go, here's some DX coming up right now. First one is Rodriguez Island. They're on the air right now, and they're going to be there until the 12th. They're just off the east coast of Africa, 3B9 Hotel Alpha. Also coming up is the next one is Mauritania, 5 Tango 9, Victor Bravo. That guy's a travel agent there in Mauritania. So we're not quite sure. He's not quite sure how long he's going to be there. So if you need that one, you better get on the air and work that one right away. He's very loud. I worked him last night on 40 meters, really, with no trouble at all. Also, we've got the Maldives, 8 Quebec, 7 Sierra Papa. That expedition, though, is ending in about 2 days on December 3rd. They're going to be done. So if you need the Maldives, make sure you get out there right away and work those guys. Also, Grenada's on the air. Juliet 3, stroke, Victor Echo 7, Alpha Charlie November. And they're going to be there through the 8th. Now, that by all means is not all the DX that's out there. There's a ton of DX out there right now. Best places to go look is DX Coffee, DX World, Daily DX, or just keep an eye on the cluster. But a lot of good DX out there right now this fall. As far as contesting goes, this weekend is the ARRL 160 CW contest. There's a lot of multipliers in that contest, and so it's going to be pretty active on 160. So if you want to get your hand at CW on the low bands, this is your chance to do it because it will be crowded out there. There's also the Terra Ritty contest. That's going to be on all bands. And each county or country, province, and state are all worth a point apiece, and they are all multipliers. Same thing with the 10-meter Ritty contest. Now, that's going on this weekend as well. For 10 meters only, same malts and same points for that contest as well. One cool thing about the Tara Ritty contest, though, is they have a shortwave listener category. So for those of you out there that do not have your ham radio ticket, You can enter this contest. You don't even need to have the radio integrated with your computer. If you have a sound card and a microphone, you just put the microphone on the speaker output of your radio and set up the, and so you can listen or watch Ritty coming through. Now, you get a point for every side of a QSO. So if you only hear one side of the contact, you'd log that. If you hear, and that's like that first line there. If you hear both sides, each one gets their own line, like the next two lines there. So get out there and see if you like contesting, even if you're not a ham. So that's kind of cool. The following weekend, next weekend, ARRL 10-meter contest, and that's for CW and sideband. And lots of multipliers there. If you look at it, you got every U.S. state, Canadian province, each Mexico state, each DXCC country, as well as all the ITU regions if you work somebody who's maritime mobile. So tons of multipliers, but you know what? With the way the solar cycle's going and no sunspots, you're going to need every multiplier you can get on 10 meters. And also the International Naval Contest going on as well. So if you're a member of the Naval Club, make sure you get on the air because you're going to be worth 10 points. You're going to be in high demand. But you don't have to be a Navy person or an ex-Navy person to do it. Anybody can play. You're just going to be worth 1 point. And they also have a shortwave listening categories. Lots more contests going on these next 2 weeks. Able to tell you about. If you want to see other contests, just go to the Whiskey Alpha 7 Bravo November Mike contest calendar. And that's it for that. As far as I just got this in the mail. This is another win for us. We just got the USA win for WPX sideband contest. And part of our team was Alpha Charlie 9 Italy Golf, Matt Walsh. If you remember who Matt Walsh is, we drew his name to be a mentor and come to our station and contest. Well, so he's going to get his first USA plaque as well. But I want to thank the Florida Contest Group. They actually sponsored this plaque. And I wanted to kind of talk real quick about sponsoring plaques. I'm going to be sponsoring plaques for two state QSO parties coming up because they didn't have a YL category. And I want to try and get more YLs involved in contesting. And state QSO parties are a really good way to get your feet wet. And a lot of that's usually how a lot of people start out in contesting is by participating in their state QSO party. So it's really not that expensive to do. The plaques cost less than $50 and it's once a year. So if you like contesting, I would highly recommend you or your contest club get out there and support some plaques. Or maybe you had a mentor who was really into contesting and now he's a silent key. Maybe you want to sponsor a plaque in that person's honor. Or if you want to see more youth in the hobby, you could sponsor a plaque in a contest and offer up a youth category. So it's easy to do. You just find a contest that you're passionate about or your state CUSA party and find the contact information and ask how to go about sponsoring a plaque. So it's always nice to get wallpaper on the wall, but I'd much rather have paneling. And that's what makes this hobby a lot more fun, and it helps pay it forward and share the fun in this hobby. So that's all I've got for this week. So I'm going to pass it over to Don.
Awesome. The Naval Contest. I entered the Naval Contest once, but they didn't like my belly button at all. So I don't think I did it right. I'll have to do more research on that for next time.
Were you an innie or an outie?
That was bad.
I had a lint issue. I think we should probably just leave it at that. Really wasn't pretty. Why don't we get into the news of the week with Amateur Radio Newsline? Let's see if I can bail myself out on this one. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2039, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. As the northeastern corner of New Zealand's South Island tries to clear out from this month's major earthquake, one local amateur has taken stock of his opportunity to help, not just in that moment, but in the future.
On holiday in Waiau, at the time a 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck New Zealand on Monday the 14th of November, Daniel Ayres at L1 DFA found himself a few miles from its epicentre. Being there already with his handheld radio, Daniel was among the few who could get involved immediately in that rural region.
I only had a handheld dual band radio with me, and so I was able to get into an amateur repeater on 146.975 megahertz, and that allowed me to talk to people in Christchurch and in the wider area around the northern part of the South Island, and they told me straight away that we had just had a direct hit. I was able to quickly scoot out into Christchurch and swap the car that I was driving for my SUV, which was fitted out for emergency communications on HF and VHF, and had everything necessary ready to go to talk to anybody anywhere. So I took that vehicle back into Waiau, and it was using that I was able to participate more fully in providing some communications.
Daniel also worked for hours using the civil defence system and equipment before being asked to switch to his own amateur radios to help the New Zealand Fire Service pass messages to their regional office in Christchurch, 100 miles away.
What I found was very interesting was that the quote-unquote amateur VHF network were more reliable in this instance, and this was not the only instance that we've seen this in this part of the country, but the amateur infrastructure was more reliable than the radio communications infrastructure put in by civil defence.
The next challenge, Daniel said, is not just preparing for the next quake that is surely to come, or the series of inevitable aftershocks, but finding a way for radio amateurs to establish a system of response on HF that will help this rural nation more reliably. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, said L2BHF.
Once again, amateur radio succeeds when all else fails. Our final story this week, in keeping with the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., is about gratitude. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
For more than 50 years, amateur radio operators were grateful for the spring ritual of the Dayton Hamvention, which was held at Hera Arena in Trotwood, Ohio. Now the arena has been shut down and the massive global gathering of amateurs has found a new home at the Greene County Fairgrounds starting in 2017. Pieces of arena history, especially keepsakes of Hamvention history, are being auctioned off online. The online auctioneer, Everything But the House, began accepting bids on Thanksgiving Day, the 24th of November, and the auction concludes Wednesday, the 30th of November. No doubt there will be many among the tens of thousands of radio amateurs, two generations of visitors, wanting something by which to remember Hamvention's longtime home. For many hams, though, this will be simply a harvest of memories, some of them precious indeed. Although bidding on all items starts at $1, nostalgia is actually beyond any price. It's easy enough just to own Hera memories themselves. They're bought easily with gratitude for the good years and the friendships that flourished under that roof. And all of that knows no season.
As Neil says, the auction ends today, so if you want something, you'd better head to ebth.com and enter Hera in the search box. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
The sun gets into the holiday spirit and gives us a show by popping off a few big flares, and an old coronal hole begins its return earthside with a promise of more aurora. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun brings the holiday cheer early this year with region 2615. It kind of was starting on the backside, but as it's rotated into Earthview, it's really started growing like crazy. We've been watching it pop off like half a dozen flares in the last day or so, with two of them being M-class flares. That means you amateur radio operators are beginning to feel the sting a little bit. Your noise levels and your signal fades are probably having an issue every now and again. And it's continuing to grow. It's going to enter the Earth strike zone here within the next few days. But all these flares have been in impulsive, so no solar storms have been launched that are Earth-directed or otherwise, but we are continuing to watch it. Meanwhile, we've got a coronal hole that you can't really see quite yet, but it's just beginning to round the edge of the East Limb, and it should be into Earth strike zone in about 10 days. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see we've been pretty quiet for quite some time. We've just been kind of drowsing along here. And then suddenly ramping up right there, bam, that was the emergence of region 2615 in Earthview. And you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 flares at least. Two of them are M-class flares, and it just keeps coming. Bam, bam, bam. This thing is firing rapid fire because it's growing so quickly. So we're keeping an eye on it, but these are causing problems for you ham radio operators. Expect your signal fades. Expect to be knocked out momentarily with these radio blackouts, but probably not for too long a period of time. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook for the coming week, as you can see, we are now in the yellow. Thanks to region 2615, NOAA is giving us about a 20% chance of an M-class flare over at least the next few days. After that, we'll kind of see whether or not it's continuing to grow or it's going to die down. Oftentimes, these things fire off a lot and then they die down. So we might see some fading here in the next few days of this particular region. So you amateur radio operators, you're just going to have to kind of get through the next few days, expect to have signal fades, expect to have radio blackouts. They won't last all that long before they die back down a little bit, but you're going to get them frequently. So just expect it's going to be a little annoying for you. The one nice thing is that you notice that the solar flux levels have now risen, so we're back into the green just barely. So when there aren't solar flares, you should actually enjoy some pretty good propagation. So the space weather this week has really picked up. The sun has gotten into a festive mood. It's popping off M-class flares, kind of like a paparazzi at a red carpet event. Unfortunately, this means you amateur radio operators kind of have to deal with the annoyance of these impulsive flares that will give you some radio blackouts and definitely signal fades, especially if you're on the day side of the Earth and near the gray line. So expect those annoyances easily through the next 3 days, maybe even through the week. We'll see if this region settles down or if it continues to grow. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
So nice to have Dr. T back with us again this week with some good stuff. Now, I want to tell you about something going on. The USS Batfish Amateur Radio Club, they're having a special event station coming up this weekend in honor of the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Bring those images up for me, Brian, if you would. They're going to start operating Friday night, maybe around 1900 CST, run up to some unknown time on Sunday. What you're looking at there, that is an actual mast from the USS Oklahoma that was bombed and destroyed and sank at Pearl Harbor 75 years ago. They don't know the exact time or frequencies, but it's more of an ad hoc operation as opposed to a museum ship weekend. They'll have two call signs on the air, WW2OK, in honor of the battleship USS Oklahoma, which was BB-37. There it is. That was in port at the time of the attack, and WW2SUB, that is for the submarine USS Batfish. Well, there it's it right there, SS-310. Yes, there's a submarine in Oklahoma. Go figure. They do the Oklahoma thing because, of course, they have a piece of that fire control mast from the ship, and it's in Muskogee, Oklahoma. If you have a chance to go by there and operate, if you're going to be in the area, or, of course, try to catch them on the air as well. Mitch, KE5HWW, who is the president of the Batfish and Oklahoma Amateur Radio Club. So good stuff. Get out there and operate and do your part to help commemorate 75 years. Wow. Since Pearl Harbor. You know, when I was a kid, I looked forward to three catalogs around this time of the year. One was the Sears Roebuck catalog. I was always a big fan of the JCPenney catalog. And, of course, the Radio Shack catalog. Well, now, this is the one right here, DX Engineering. Because they're always adding new things to the catalog. Every time they have the new catalog come out, whether it's the winter catalog or the summer catalog, whatever, there's always new things and it's always bigger. But they keep adding things. And the beauty of the 21st century is you get on the doobly-doo and they're all right there at dxengineering.com. Phonema is a new brand at DX Engineering. They make speakers and speaker upgrade kits that give you audiophile-grade sound reproduction. Perfectly matched to ham radio's unique audio qualities to make listening a joyful experience. You can select from standalone speakers or Phonema's clever upgrade kits that allow you to retrofit many popular speaker models from familiar manufacturers like Icom, Kenwood, and Yaesu. So if you're running a matched speaker, you can put a really, really good driver in there because those matched speakers, I mean, they look nice, but normally the drivers in there are not very good. So you can put a nice driver in there and make your speaker sound as good as it looks. And if you're running an SDR, the Phonema speakers are an excellent alternative to tinny and harsh-sounding speakers on your computer because they're not matched to communications audio. With their clean and elegant lines, the Phonema speakers are a visual and oral upgrade to any ham shack. Also, BHI makes noise cancellation products. They can enhance the quality of your incoming audio. They use cutting-edge digital signal processing. The BHI products remove the interference and noise so you can hear the distant and weak audio signals. And that's what it's all about. They make three types of noise cancellation products. They make noise-canceling speakers, standalone speakers with a DSP technology built in. If you've already got a good speaker, BHI's inline DSP unit installs between your radio and the speaker, giving you the same high-performance noise-canceling capabilities of their speakers. And if you're handy with a soldering iron, you can upgrade your radio with a small DSP PC board module. Fits right inside the radio's chassis. And RM Italy. Oh, my. RM Italy. RF amplifiers. By controlling every phase of the manufacturing process, RM Italy will give you incredibly high quality standards and capitalize on opportunities for innovation. RM Italy has solid-state HF and VHF amplifiers that give you clean, clear amplification and robust performance. They work equally well base, mobile, or handheld stations. RM Italy, of course, based in Europe, but now North American operators can get RM Italy products through DX Engineering, which means no lengthy delays, complicated international shipping. It's right there. It'll go on a truck tonight. You know DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, a really killer catalog, and awesome people. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Go online, request your catalog, or just shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com, dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank them so much for their support of what we do here at Ham Nation to bring all this good stuff to you. Like Emma, VE3EHT. Bob, we've got a special guest tonight, her and her dad, as a matter of fact, Rod.
We do. We have an incredible guest here tonight, Emma, and her father from Toronto. Hello to you, and I guess it's not too cold up there, is it, Emma?
Not really. It's okay.
Well, we're so thrilled to have you. We met up at the Markham Ham Fest when we were there, and we found out about your new license and stuff. And tell us a little bit about what's going on there at VE3EHT. How old are you? And we want to hear about that very first contact. I mean, you know, most of us, we get on the air, and if we work our buddy across town, that's a big deal. But I understand you made a contact a little further than across town, right?
Yeah, so I'm 13 years old, and I think it was Sunday, that I got to talk to somebody in Nambia. So his call was V51WW, and that was really cool. And that was my first contact.
I would guess. And Rod, you got to be a very proud father, and I bet you loaned her some of your gear, right?
I certainly did. We've got a pretty humble home shack, as you can see in the background here. But it's really great to see her take an interest in the hobby. Emma reacts pretty well to just about every challenge we throw at her. And she was the one that approached me saying, "Hey, Dad, I think it's time to do my ticket." So we managed to find a group in York Region that was running, and she can tell you a little bit more about that. But running a class up there, and it seemed like a great opportunity.
Well, you sent some great pictures. Why don't we have Brian run through some of these, and Emma, you can tell us a little bit about them as we start. There you are at the radio, about ready to work V5IWW, I think it was, in Nambia. That had to be a thrill. Had to be a thrill.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool. That was on the 20-meter band.
20 meters.
And
that was, tell it us was a little really, bit about what we're seeing here.
That's at the David Dunlop Observatory. So that was a photo taken by Paul Mortfield, VA3FUZ. And he's one of the astronomers at the York Region Astronomers Club. So he took that, and just up above, it's the...
The International Space Station photograph he took. Now, what makes the observatory important is this is where the class was held. There's a grouping that's starting to happen. Now that light is encroaching on the observatory, it's being used for other things, for more technology issues. There's a maker lab that's moved into the basement called Y-Lab. Okay. And they also hosted this ham class.
Yeah, and that was... It was really interesting. It was pretty cool because there was a lot of older people there, but it was very hands-on as well.
Oh, that's great. And then here's a picture, I think, of your class and testing and so on.
Yeah, that's Dad. That's when we made our first antennas, the J-pole. And that was really cool because we got to go down into the basement and we got to actually solder stuff and put stuff together and actually test it out and see how it worked.
You got to learn
really
how to solder. Have to do that. And I guess Jeff is in this next one, VA3GS, and he's one of the instructors, right?
Yeah, he's one of the publishers, the Koch publishers, so Coax. So he was one of the ones who wrote the book, and he taught the course, and just in the stripes there. And he was really, really nice, and he was very, very kind, but he made it fun. So we got readings every week, and he was just very nice, and he would explain stuff if you didn't understand it. He was very nice.
That's excellent. And this is the telescope. This looks like a big deal, Emma.
Yeah, it was built in 1935, I believe, and it was the second largest telescope in the world. So we got to see it operated, and we got a tour by Paul Mortfield, the guy who took the picture, and he showed us how it worked, and he let us even kind of control the telescope, which was really cool, and it was really neat. It was really fun to see that big thing move.
That's great. And who is that with you?
That's my little sister. That's Olivia. She's actually watching us right now, but she's 9 years old, and she was watching us, and she was listening while we were talking to the man in Nambia, and we really hope that she's going to get her license eventually, too.
Oh, boy. That's great. And this
that was at the maker fair,
right?
Yeah. So we got to kind of help out with the table a little bit, and just there were a bunch of makers walking by, and I didn't know anything back then, but Dad was talking about the Oakville Amateur Radio Club and how it works, and there were younger people there, so they seemed really interested.
That's wonderful that you were there, because the Maker Faires are really doing great things. Now, you see, I always say, if you don't have at least two or three hobbies, then you're missing life. Looks like you have another one here, right?
Yes, that was, it's a camp that I used to go to because I do a lot of English riding, but that was about a year ago. And that's, I ride a lot. And I also did a coding class, which is another one of, I don't really do it anymore, but that was kind of a thing that I was into last year in the summer. And it was held in Toronto at Brain Station. And that was also really educational. And I think it kind of helped with the amateur radio test.
That's great. Well, Rod, with Emma there and with Olive coming up, you're going to come home to a real hot transmitter, and there won't be room for you. Do you have an answer for that one?
A bigger tower. Actually, a tower at all would be nice. But you know, something with a greater duty cycle, I think, because they certainly seem kind of keen, and I can't believe the combination of luck and good fun to have her first contact being that far overseas. I know, you know, credit to the gentleman that was running the station at that point. He did call out for YLs. And I think I just turned to him and I said, now, go. So well, it was good fun there.
That's great. And you mentioned a while ago about your station. It doesn't look too meager to me. You've got a scope and the right transmitter, and it looks like a bench that you can solder on. And that's my kind of station. So hats off to you and teaching the girls all of the insides of the hobby. That's so important. And it looks like Jeff did a nice job getting all of that with the classes together. It seems like you're going to be just fine, Emma. You're a very articulate young lady, and we look forward to having you on again and giving us more of the real meat and potatoes of what you find out when you dig into this hobby. And maybe you can get in and work a contest with Valerie one of these days. I don't know. We get you girls together. Who knows what will happen? But it just sure is fun to have you on. And do you have a regular operating schedule or time and frequency that you like to work around?
Not really. I'm too new to it. I don't really know much about it. So I have Dad helping me out, but I don't have a time or a frequency.
We'll have to get one. We just got her set up with a listing and with her call sign as a Twitter handle. So We'll get going with it. I think it's going to be an interesting journey to follow, because this course was a real eye-opener for me on how things need to be phrased in order to get through to young people. I know the question banks on both sides of the border, both here in Canada and the U.S., have some difficulties around the way in which we phrase things. And I think it can be better. I know a couple of weeks ago, Gordo was saying something about that. But it really has been an eye-opener for me on how to present this information, and I really want to follow Emma's progress on this and see it through her eyes.
Absolutely. You'll have to get in touch with Gordo, and he can get you one of his instructor courses, and questions would be a little different for the Canadian license, but the science is the same, and that's what you're teaching, so that would be of help to you too. Well, I thank both of you so much for taking time to be with us and working with me to get all of the slides together, and I really appreciate you taking the time. We'll look forward to talking again, and maybe we'll catch you on 20 meters one of these days, Emma.
I hope so.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, well, it's really been fun. Thanks a lot, and just look around the band. You'll find some of us somewhere. Have fun. That's just wonderful. So wonderful. Aha, there you go. Thanks, Brian. I wanted to also say, before we get down to find out what happened to George, we are simulcasting each of the Ham Nation shows on WTWW. You can go up to 5.085 megahertz. That's right up the band from 75 meters. Go up there and check us out. And a big signal from that monstrous transmitter. I think he's running 100,000 watts on that transmitter. So let us know how you're hearing it and so on. We'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. And on Saturday night, I have something else for you, too, and we'll get into that down in a little bit further in the show. I got some slides to show you what goes on Saturday night, where I spend my time, and a little more about WTWW. And Valerie mentioned Jim's engraving. Jim is a great friend of Ham Nation. You see his signs all over. I don't have anything behind me here, but he's a veteran, and I just appreciate what he does for amateur radio so much, and especially his service to this country. So check out Jim's engraving. It'll be a great place to get a nice Christmas present for. Really doesn't have to be a ham. You could put your wife's name on it and give it to her, or put it on the mantle or whatever. George, you have one of his wonderful signs. You probably have a couple of them there, don't you, around the shack?
I do. I don't have it on the bench right here because it stays back there on the set in the studio most of the time. And we use it whenever we do amateur logic shows. I need to get in touch with Jim and get him to make me one for Ham College to slide down into the frame there. Because those are really nice signs. You know, Bob, we had some thunderstorms and bad weather move through the area down here this week, as Don mentioned earlier. I'm sure, you know, as amateurs, most of us have been around towers. And when you're around a really tall one, it's a little bit different experience. I tried before to take a little video just so I could capture some sound of what it sounds like at the base of a 1,000-foot tower when you've got a high wind. Didn't turn out too good because I had wind noise on my microphone. But I had to go out earlier this week right before the thunderstorms got here, and I had an opportunity to record just a little short clip here of what it sounds like. And this time, I didn't have wind blowing in my microphone. So let's just take a quick look at that.
You ever wondered how loud it might be at the base of a 1,000-foot tower in a high wind? You can hear the wind in the pine trees a little bit. That's the high frequency sound. But if you hear that roaring sound, like a train or a jet, that's wind through the tower.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not quite as impressive there as it is in real life. I was hoping it turned out a little better, but I should have used a howl mic. The mic in the iPhone is just really not capable of catching something like that. Under a 2,000-foot tower, it is really loud, but it just sounds like a freight train or a jet passing over or something like that. You know, you hear wind noise on shorter towers, but on those big ones, it's a little bit spooky to hang out in them or around them when you've got bad weather approaching. Fortunately, I got out of there before the thunderstorms got here, but I've been there during thunderstorms before and heard things crackling in the building with me. That's when you don't want to touch anything. Well, I've got something to give away here. I've actually got two things to give away and one little odd item to show you. You know, last week I asked a question, and this is one from the amateur radio technician exam, and I ask it because we did a episode of Ham College, and this was one of the questions on it. You know, we've got not many, but a few questions about decibels on the technician exams. This is one of them. What is the approximate amount of change measured in decibels of a power increase from 20 to 200 watts? And we had a lot of people answer that. Your choices were 10, 12, 18, or 28 dB. Well, we had a winner. It's Jeremy Adler, K K6, I'll get it right yet. It was Jeremy Adler, KG6, YFT. And he said, the answer is A, 10 dB. And that's correct, Jeremy. He's going to win this DX Engineering sport bag, a really nice bag to carry your clothes, your amateur gear, whatever you want in it. Nice heavy-duty bag. Appreciate DX Engineering supplying that. And I know Jeremy's going to have a good time with it. But he wrote me back, and you know, just on the topic of a few minutes ago, Bob, Jeremy said that's great to win that. And today's an exciting ham day in his family. His oldest son, 13-year-old Jacob, KK6MYW, was licensed when he was 10. His younger brother, Jesse, 9, passed his tech exam this last Saturday. And his call should be appearing in the FCC database just possibly sometime today. So congratulations, Jeremy. DX Engineering will be sending you that right out. But I've got a question for next week. I'm going to show you a little item here. This looks like a vacuum tube, doesn't it? Pretty much, you know, optical socket on it and glass envelope and some elements in there. And you can even see what looks like a heating element in there. Give you a little better look, maybe. What do you think that is? That's not a vacuum tube. Looks like it, but it's not. If you know what that is, then send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you might win this MFJ 148 RC clock. It's a 12 or 24-hour clock. Great for the ham shack because you can display 12 or 24 hours, but it's a dual clock. And it's radio controlled, so it automatically adjusts itself. I've got one side set here for local time. The other side I've got set for UTC. There's also a 10-minute ID timer built on it, so if you're bad about forgetting when you should say your call sign, well, here's a good way to remember right here. Perfect clock for your ham shack. So send me that email, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Tell me what this is. Like I say, I see a heating element in there. And I see what looks like contacts in there. There's actually a number on here. I'll give this to you. Maybe I shouldn't, but it's 115NO160. Send me an email. You might win that clock. Right now, let's get a message from one of our great sponsors, ICOM.
Holiday season is here. Looking for the ideal gift for your favorite contester? The holidays are just around the corner, and ICOM has an array of radios to fill your stockings or place under the tree. Perfect for the contester on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with compact design. The real fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Push performance to the pinnacle with the IC7600. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 offers intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, and high-resolution real-time spectrum scope. Raise the bar with the IC7851. Hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. To learn more about these and all of ICOM's great radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for November, this is the last day you can enter, so go enter now. It's the ICOM ID51A Plus dual band dual watch VHF UHF handheld transceiver. It does analog and D-Star. It has a built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list functions, independent AM FM receiver, a free Android app is available, and a lot more features. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now I'm going to throw it back to Bob. Bob, I think you've got some pictures of your axe here, don't you?
George, I'm really thrilled and quite impressed to be getting so many emails and even letters from people that have been listening to WTWW, both to Ham Nation rebroadcasts as well as the simulcast here on Wednesday night. But on Saturday, 8 o'clock Central, we've been doing theater organ concerts, and almost all of these letters and emails have come from Ham Nation viewers, and they wanted to know what it looked like. So we're going to run through this real quick. I don't want to bore anybody, but here's what happens to me on Saturday night. We've got some slides to show you, and you get to be able to see where we are. Go ahead, Brian, and see what you got there. That, by the way, is not now. That was 1956. That was at the Fox Theater. I was 15 years old and started playing. We were coming up out of the pit on that big baby, and that's what that started it right there. That was the first night I played, and we're still doing it. And the next slide will be from the Lincoln Theater in Belleville. That's where I am now, in Belleville, Illinois. And occasionally we'll do shows there. And they have a nice instrument there. I think I've got a slide of it here. It's not quite like the Fox, but it's pretty good. Now, that's the one that I play in the studio in Pleasant Hope that you hear on the broadcast. That's what I do. But some of the shows, we've been going back doing some recordings at the Lincoln. I also have other plans to do some of the other theaters, but that's the instrument in Pleasant Hope that we play every Saturday night. And that is the Lincoln organ. And as I've done, I think, two of the shows on WTWW from that instrument. And I'm going to be playing New Year's Eve there on that instrument. That's here in Belleville, Illinois. But I just thought I'd show you a few of the slides of my other life. And I do enjoy playing. And I've been doing it for how many years now? Oh, my gosh. Started in 1952. I was 12. But we're still doing it. And, of course, ham radio came along just a couple of years later, and we're still doing that, too. So it's been so much fun. I love sharing all of it with you. And it's amazing where these letters are coming from, some of them from across the pond. So thanks very much to Ted and his whole family to keep that going, and especially the simulcast here. Amanda, you can hear WTWW pretty strong out there, and I'm sure you do. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, actually. And yes, we hear WTWW very well here. And since you mentioned, I'm going to have to say hi to Scotty B, who I know, one of our good friends who's listening up in Denver right now. He says, I can't get around to watching Ham Nation. Mention that it's simulcast. Boom. He's out in his garage listening to it. So it's great. And I have another friend here in town, Matt, W1ATE, who built a transceiver just to listen to that, I think. So fun times for all. Let's see, you guys. I didn't get any questions so far in the chat room tonight, but I did want to show you guys. Yes, I'm a little bit festive tonight. So, Brian, if you don't mind showing those photos, we decorated our tower.
Nice.
It's sideways, but yeah.
Cool.
And then the next photo is us at Walmart, and you can see the tower from Walmart. So It's hilarious. It's right there by the light pole. You can see it. A 55 feet tower, and you can see it out there. So it's fun. Anyhow, Jeff and I did that while it was warm out.
That's great.
Isn't it?
It's like a parade right there at Walmart.
And now it's a parade by Jeff and Amanda's home because everyone at Walmart says, oh, let's go see what that is. So we've had a lot of traffic driving by. So we feel like we need to do a little bit more to make it a little bit more spectacular when they drive by the house. So it's not just the tower lights, but fun times there for sure. And the only other thing I had to talk about was sorry to hear about Tennessee, you guys. I know your Aries groups are probably really busy right now. And it's unfortunate that there's another state with another wildfire going on. And we always hate to see those devastations of lost homes. And boy, there's been a lot of them out there. So I send my love and prayers to you all. Other than that, I do have one question in the chat room now. Bob, what is the largest audience you have ever played for?
Me personally?
Yes.
Probably, let's see, it would have been at the Fox, probably around 5,000. Back in the day when the theater was really something, back in the 50s, just an amazing, beautiful theater. The Fox Theater in St. Louis was one of four that were identical. The St. Louis Fox, San Francisco Fox, Detroit Fox, and the Paramount on Broadway in New York. And they are just gorgeous places. In fact, they call it the Fabulous Fox here in St. Louis. You can go look it up on the internet. It's just stunning when you go into these places. And it quite like the Oregon too. It's really beautiful, and it had 6,000 seats in it, and I would think there'd been several times it was almost full, so that's probably that probably takes the cake. The other one would be some of the shows we did with the bands, but that doesn't count. I wasn't doing anything other than providing the audio. Thanks for
that's
asking.
Fun times, though. That's definitely fun times. That's where you want to be when the audience isn't staring at you, but you know you made it sound good. One other question now that we got in the chat room, and I'll send this to Valerie first. How do you enter the wires from your antennas into your house? So, Val, what do you guys use there to get all of your wires into your ham shack?
In the back room here, we have a big hole in the wall, and we put a big thick PVC tube through there, and they come in through the tubing. And then we have a big metal frame with holes drilled in it, and they all screw into that. And so then when I want to work, somebody say on 12 meters, I grab my radio coax connector and plug it into and they are all labeled, and I plug it into the 12 meter one. So I'll take a picture and show you sometime, maybe on the next show, what it looks like coming into the shack. But it's this big, but we have lots of, I don't know how many coax lines coming in, feeding in from out there.
Yeah, you guys with your antenna farm have quite a few more than the average Joe would have. So George, same question to you.
You know, I hate to say it, but I was reading the chat room and I didn't hear the question, Amanda.
Oh my gosh. How do you enter your feed lines to your radios from outside? How does it enter your house?
Oh yeah. Through a hole. actually, I showed it. I don't remember what episode. It was a long time ago, several years ago on Ham Nation. We did an episode here while I was building the new studio/shack. And I've got this is a metal building that I'm in. It's got a wood floor, and it sits a couple of feet off of the ground. Inside the walls, I drilled holes down in there, and I ran some about 2-inch PVC pipes through there, and then I mounted some boxes in the wall, and they've got cover plates on them. So that's how mine are getting in and out. I'm fortunate here that you know, I can just drop them right down through the floor.
That is nice. Bob, what about you? Do you go through the floor as well?
We had several videos early on in Ham Nation when I moved to Pleasant Hope, and I did it with a toilet flange. I know what you're going to laugh about this, but it's really a cool way to cut a nice hole in the bottom, or, you know, in the floor or the wall, and mount a toilet flange. Then you can get, I think it's 4-inch PVC that fits right inside that flange. Then I right angle it and stuff it with copper wool, like steel wool, only it's copper, so it doesn't rust, and that keeps all the varmints out. So far, we've been very good and luck with that, but it's a wonderful way of taking care of that. There you go, right there. That works really good, and I've had zero problems with it, and there's 15 coaxes coming up out of the floor from all the different antennas and so on, the tower, as well as all the coaxial dipoles. But it's a good tip for everybody. It works well.
Oh, Brian, you did not.
I just sent Brian photos I took from inside the shack. It's too dark to do out. I don't know if he can upload them right now and show you what we have going on here, too.
Thank you, Val.
I might be able to, but it'll take me a sec. I was busy pulling up toilet sound effects. So
evidently. And we also have a bar, and we have it mounted on our patio outside because it's covered, and that's where I go out to change my antennas. The coax still comes inside, but it's temporary because we still haven't finished our shack, and our design plans in it are, you know, budget resistant. So that's how we do it right now, and it's in the works. Let's put it that way.
Hey, that would be a good topic. Let's do that next week, everybody. Let's put things together and show how we get take some pictures. You too, Val. We'll have you on tomorrow or next week. I'm sorry. And let's all show how we get coax into our rooms and stuff like that. That'd be really.
There's
good.
Mine. That's coming in from the outside, and then the next one is the where they all hook up to the panels. And then I can attach the radios to which antenna I want.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, but it works.
It looks complex. And all of those numbers, I would have to have like a label printer and print out exactly what antenna I'm supposed to plug into that, because that's a lot to choose from. But it's nice looking. All right. I can't wait. I look forward to seeing everybody's pictures next week. All right, guys. That's all I have. I looked for the 40-meter net. I'm not seeing it. Look around 7180. That's where they typically like to run it. 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. And don't forget, do drop in for the Echolink net. Send it back to you, Bob.
Okay. Well, it's been fun tonight. And now we have assignments for next week, everybody.
Okay.
See how we...
I'll clean mine up a little. It's a little messy back there.
That's okay. Yeah.
Project.
Go outside and take some pictures and inside.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be good because I'll be back in Illinois next week. I got to go back to Pleasant Home this weekend for a couple of days, but then I'll be back in here, so I'll be right here next week. It's been fun, everybody. And boy, was it nice to have Emma, 13 years old. First contact was V51?
V51. Yeah, Victor 51.
Have you worked them?
Yeah, I have.
I figured
it was definitely not my first contact. That took me a while to get that one. She did good.
That's an awesome job.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, thanks to everybody and being here. We'll make this all happen again next week. And I'll be listening on WTWW. They've got some great programming outside of their simulcast of Ham Nation and the organ programs on Saturday night. So we'll see you right back here next week on Ham Nation. Thanks, everybody. And Brian, thank you, man, for making it all happen.
Bye, Amanda. Bye-bye.